I'd like to ask Russ to come up, who's going to give us some numbers. So thank you, Russ.
Thank you, Morgan. Give it up for Morgan. And a quick little tip, if you want to make it to that Thursday event up in Seattle, Amtrak is $60 round trip. They got big seats with plug-ins for your laptop and a bar car, so it ain't so bad. So I'm going to give you a brief presentation on what the law is now in the state of Oregon. I'm the executive director of Portland Normal, among many things I do, which also includes my hosting the Russ Belville Show live weekdays at 3 p.m. Pacific on 420radio.org. All of the things I do are available through Radical Russ. All you got to remember, if you remember one thing, Radical Russ, YouTube, SoundCloud, everywhere, Twitter, Facebook, and the slides in this presentation I'm about to show you, plus about 75% more, are also available for download at portlandnormal.org. All right, so Measure 91 designated that marijuana should be treated legally for adults 21 and older, and then the legislature came in and updated that with a bill called HB 3400A, and it solved a problem that existed in our Measure 91. Now, they began by making public marijuana, you know, you can possess in public up to an ounce. I can walk around right now with an ounce in my pocket, allegedly, and nobody can do anything about it. Privately, I can have up to a half pound at my home. Half pound of marijuana, not bad. Edibles, I can have up to a pound of that. Tinctures, I can have 4.5 pints or 72 ounces, which is like a six pack. Six 12 ounce cans is about 72 ounces. And we differ, we're very similar to Washington in that respect, although we get more private marijuana at home. Colorado and Alaska did theirs very differently, and they really messed it up when it comes to the edibles and the tinctures, because they say you can have an ounce of THC or an ounce of marijuana in the brownies. How would you know, right? Here's a plate of brownies. Oh, that looks like it has 6 grams in it. You wouldn't know, right? Neither would the cop, and they'd have to check, and it'd be kind of a pain. So we did it better. We just, the whole weight of the edibles up to a pound. But ours had a problem in it, and that had to do with extracts and concentrates. When we wrote Measure 91, we said that you could only have an ounce of extracts. Extracts were defined as those things made by butane, hexane, propane, carbon dioxide, isopropyl alcohol, ethyl alcohol, and that made for a lot of things to be concentrates. The legislature actually fixed this for us and declared that the only things that are extracts are those made with hydrocarbons, the anes. If it's made with butane, propane, hexane, it's an extract. And one other exception, if it's made carbon dioxide with high heat and pressure, one of those supercritical, you know, CO2 machines. Other than that, if it's not made that way, it's concentrate and you can have a pound of it. Ice water hash, bubble hash, vegetable glycerin extractions, animal fat extractions, rosin press that is so popular now, a pound that you can have. So thank you, legislature, for clarifying that for us. And also, we can grow 4 plants per household of any size. They don't care how big or small the plants are, you can grow 4 of them. None in Washington, they still don't have that. And then, of course, 6 total in Colorado and up to 25 in your house in Alaska. But that's because of their constitution. That wasn't part of their legalization. That was a privacy right they had for a long time, actually. Now, our commercial side of it is Oregon's going to have a 2-year residency up until the year 2020. And again, talking about protectionism and whether or not that's the right thing to do, this seems like they kind of split the difference. Like, all right, we'll have residency, but we'll sunset it in 2020. After 2020, anyone can come in and get involved. That gives our locals kind of a 4-year head start. Not a bad idea. The costs that are going to be involved, a cost-based fee, still hasn't been quite set in stone, but it's going to be around $4,000-ish. It's going to be about the same cost as what it gets cost to currently do a medical marijuana dispensary. They wanted to keep those prices similar to not encourage or discourage one side or the other. That's kind of a bummer because when we wrote Measure 91, it had Washington's levels. It had 250 and 1,000, and they scrapped that and made it about 3 times more expensive. And then the taxes, we are going to have the lowest marijuana taxes in the United States. Yeah, that's right. There will be a temporary 25% tax in 2016. I'm going to talk a little bit about that on another slide. But when everything's all said and done, our tax is going to be 17 to 20%. 17% base state tax, up to 3% local tax that they can tack on, but only if they allow all four types of licensees. So if they're banning, you know, grows, well, no, you don't get a tack on 3%. Yeah, I agree. Now, there's another part of HB 3400 Measure 91 that has gotten lost, and it actually got referenced in a recent article in The Oregonian where they talked about the frequently asked questions about legalization. And the point is that while we have all those legal limits that I already talked to you about, twice that amount is only a ticket. I can have a pound of weed in my house, I get a ticket. Up to four times those amounts, Class B misdemeanor. And then when we wrote Measure 91, we said if you go over four times that, it's a Class C felony. The legislature downgraded it to Class A misdemeanor, which means in the state of Oregon, there is no amount of marijuana you can possess and get a felony. Now, Class A misdemeanor is not nothing to sneeze at. You can get some jail time for that, but still, you won't be a felon, right? The only felonies that exist, they still have the felony for having over a quarter ounce of homemade extracts. Not store-bought, but over the homemade stuff. They want to make sure people aren't doing that home BHO blasting. So you possess over a quarter ounce of homemade stuff, that's a Class C felony. And if you're growing eight or more plants in your house, you got a Class C felony. Some other depenalization updates. There's a Class C felony if you import or export for consideration. So if you grow a bunch of weed, take it to Idaho to sell it, Class C felony. You're still in bad shape. And unlawful delivery to a minor if you're an adult. If you're over 21 and you deliver weed to someone under 18, Class C felony. Probably should be. Let's not, you know, make this look bad by having a bunch of kids get high. And then one Class A felony remains, and that's unlawful delivery or manufacture within 1,000 feet of a school. So you get to grow four plants at your house. If you grow eight or more and you're within 1,000 feet of a school, you're looking at 20 years and $10,000 fine, I think. Other miscellaneous things, there are tickets, Class B and Class A tickets for minors trying to get weed. And there are some misdemeanors if the minors are in possession of edibles or tinctures. All right, now, one of the parts of HB 3400 that I hate, the Eastern Compromise, or as I like to call it, the West Idaho Compromise. What they decided is that the folks in Eastern Oregon out here, out in the rural ranching and farmlands, they don't like marijuana much. Let me rephrase that. They don't like marijuana users much, is what it really is. And so they said, look, we don't want to have to have a vote if we want to get rid of pot shops. We just want our city council to get rid of the pot shop, you know, on a 2-to-1 vote. And so the compromise was brokered that any county, these ones in red, that voted more than 55% against the initiative don't have to obey the initiative. The initiative said that if you want to ban licensees, you got to put it to the public vote. But the legislature said, well, not if you really, really hate potheads. So those red counties, if they want to ban, we can't stop them. We can't have a public campaign. We can't have a ballot campaign about this to try to stop them. Now, we can try to put a separate initiative on to get them back, but we don't get that initial try to stop it. The green counties are the ones that voted more, that voted for Measure 91. So it passed in the green counties. The yellow counties voted against it, but they didn't vote against it at 55%. So in the green and yellow counties, they still have to have a vote if they want to ban. That has led to this list. Now, back in Prohibition era, they used to call them wets and dries, whether or not they banned alcohol. I like to call them squares and cools when it comes to marijuana, right? So the square cities and counties, these are the ones that have already said it's a ban. All those ones on the left, Douglas County, Brownsville, Sandy, Sutherland, Junction City, Crestwell, Sweet Home, Manzanita, and Grants Pass have already banned licensees, but it will go to a vote. All those ones on the other side, Umatilla County, Harney County, Malheur County, Crook County, Wheeler County, Ontarioville, Nyssa Island City, Jordan Valley, John Day, Adrian, Elgin, Baker City, Umatilla Canyon City, Ione, and Klamath Falls, no vote. Your business opportunities in those places are gone. Well, until we can, if we can put a ballot, you could put an initiative together, get signatures, and try to get people to vote for it. The legislature could fix it, yeah, but not unless we make some noise about it. All right, we got some other definitions. I already mentioned how extracts now are things that are butane, hexane, extracts are the anes, and concentrates are everything else. But another great definition is they defined immature plants for the medical people. Up till now, an immature plant has been anything that's 12 inches or shorter. Once it got above 12 inches, it was mature, even if it didn't have buds. Well, now they say an immature plant is one that doesn't have buds. Science! So thank you for that. That's a nice change. My favorite bill, SB 460. We are 9 days away from me walking to one of 10 pot shops on Sandy Boulevard and buying my first legal quarter ounce. This bill allows early sales to start on October 1st, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. I checked. And that means we will have gone from legal possession to legal sales in 3 months. It took Washington 18 months. It took Colorado 12 months. So kudos to our legislature for fixing that. We only get to buy a quarter ounce of flour. We only get to buy 4 seedlings. And we only get to buy unlimited amounts of seeds. Darn it. Is that all? We can't yet buy tinctures, edibles, concentrates, extracts. We're not allowed to buy those yet as recreational consumers. Won't happen yet. And HB 3400 and Measure 91 and all these bills only said that marijuana could start being taxed on January 1st, 2016. So that means for the next 3 months, tax-free weed for everybody. Get your Christmas shopping done early, folks. Now, there's going to be a 25% tax that kicks in January if you're a recreational person buying at a medical dispensary. That 25% can last until the end of the year. But what they're trying to do is to phase out the people buying at the rec store or at the medical stores as they phase in the recreational stores. So the idea is to get people to transfer over to the recreational side. As of the end of next year, these shops won't be able to sell to both recreational and medical. They'll have to make a choice. Am I going to be recreational or am I going to be a medical place? It's thought that a lot of these dispensaries, maybe even most of them, are going to switch over to rec because why wouldn't you want 5 to 10 times more customers? And maybe what comes out of that is eventually some of these rec places have medical specialties or they give discounts to patients or something like that. But if I were to bet, I would say the direction of the markets here are going to be toward integration, toward one set of rules for all marijuana, like Lord of the Rings. You know, one rule, one to rule them all. And then the tax will kick into 17% once you get the rec shops open. They'll do that 17 plus 3%. And then the other part of this that really bugs the hell out of me, that 17% tax and that 25% tax that comes before it, all those red counties get a share of that. All those red counties that ban get a share of that until July 1st, 2017. 18 months of free ride where Eastern Oregon counties benefit from taxes paid by Western Oregon consumers. That ain't right. But here's a silver lining. Maybe they get used to that money. And then maybe when it gets cut off, they go, oh, what happened to the money? Where'd you potheads go? Gee. So we'll see. We'll see how that turns out. Some other quick changes to medical marijuana. Vets with PTSD can now get a card for $20. Thank you. There's a new medical marijuana condition known as a degenerative or persuasive neurological condition. That includes things like ALS, Parkinson's, Huntington's, a whole muscular dystrophy, a whole bunch of different neurological disorders, so good for that. Medical marijuana patients can no longer be denied organ transplants. How many of you knew medical marijuana patients could be kicked off of organ transplant lists? I've told the story of two who have died waiting for their organ. One who got caught because Tim Guerin up in Seattle got caught because his doctor said, try medical marijuana, your liver's failing, and all the painkillers we can give you are bad for your liver. except medical marijuana. They caught him. They said, oh, you go 6 months sober, we'll let you back on the list. He died 2 weeks later. Jim Clar, here in Oregon, medical marijuana advocate, knew better. He could have used medical marijuana, but did not, for 9 years while he lobbied in the legislature to try to make it so he could get on the liver transplant list, died a few months before this law passed. So RIP to Jim Clar. Hospice and palliative care centers can now be designated as caregivers. So if you're end of life or cancer or whatever, and you're in a hospice, they can administer your medical marijuana, hold it for you if they choose to. And probably the best part economically, patients can now reimburse growers fully. No more of this expenses, donation. No more. You can fully reimburse your grower if you're a patient. So that's great news. We got the immature plant, the processors. That's not anything we need to cover. So here's what I would expect in the future, economically speaking. Oregon will probably be cheaper and easier than any other place to do business with marijuana. You'll probably have bureaucratic resistance outside of Portland and Salem and Eugene, because the more rural you get in any state, the more conservative you get. We have no tied house or vertical integration issues. We have no upper cap, like you mentioned, no upper cap on how many licenses there's going to be. You can have four of one or one of all four or 16 licenses combined. It doesn't matter. That, I think, is going to be the free market here in Oregon that crashes the price of marijuana nationwide. I think we'll have a huge tourist boost, even more than Denver. Denver's tourism went up 6% after legalization, although the tourism boards want to say, no, it's because of skiing. No, it's our art. It's our art, really. Okay. So, and also Denver placed third in college spring break searches after it actually beat South Padre and Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, so tell me there's no tourism. Would you rather go for tourism in high, dry, arid, I can only go skiing Denver, or Portland, Oregon, with windsurfing and skiing and a beach? And we are going to have such a great tourism industry here for marijuana. Lots of cross-border traffic for Portland and Hood River. Main Street Marijuana in Vancouver, Washington is the number one best-selling pot shop in all of Washington State. It outdoes the pot shops in Seattle. In fact, the 6 pot shops in Vancouver frequently compete with or beat the 15 pot shops in Seattle. Why? Because I, allegedly, keep going over there to get the marijuana. And they're saying like 60% of their customers are coming from Portland. Not after October 1st, they ain't. I got a pot shop 7 blocks from my house. I'm going to walk. I'm not crossing the Glen Jackson Bridge to go get weed anymore. Delivery opportunities, perhaps for Eastern Oregon. Maybe that's the way they get their weed. And like I said earlier, I think there's going to be an integration. I think eventually there may be designations in name between medical and recreational, but functionally, I think it's all going to merge eventually. And that's all I have for you. Thank you very much. You can check it at portlandnormal.org and Radical Russ.
Great job, Russ. You're just full of so much good information. Won't you do this every month with us?